Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great Wednesday and things are going well. And today we are continuing in the seal judgments. And today we have the red horse. And the red horse is about war. So let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for this time that we get to spend in your word. And Lord, help me to relate to the folks events that they will need to know if and for those that will be left behind. And it's difficult to realize that for us, this will be part of the situation by the time this happens. But it's also in our prayers that we would be able to reach those that are left behind, and that if anyone's hearing this prayer, that I hope that I can give you encouragement to stay strong, and that forward, that you can be assured that the Lord Jesus, if you turn your life over to him now, if you do it right now, before this video airs, on Wednesday, before the rapture, I should say, then you'll be going up with us. If not, it will be after, and it'll be a tough time. But hang in there, because the life that you achieve afterward will be so much worth it. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Now that was kind of a long prayer. I sometimes feel like that. Part of my calling is that to try to prepare anyone who's left behind, but in hopes that you realize how serious being left here can be as we go through these chapters here between 6 and 19. And chapters is really for those that did become believers prior to the rapture, and for the Jews who didn't who were blinded and who didn't understand when their Messiah came back in 30 AD. So for both those groups, I hope that if you're watching this video and it's after the rapture, that you'll take heed, get a hold of a Bible, and make sure that you stay as safe as possible. And whatever you do, do not take the mark of the beast. That will end it forever. So on that note, let's jump right into verses. I'm going through a lot of verses, but there's a lot of backstory when it comes to some of this stuff. So I'm, like I had mentioned on Sundays, Sunday mornings, when Pastor Silcott is doing his Sunday school hour, he's been going through these same pictures that I just had over. And so he's given kind of like broad overview of Revelation through pictures. I'm kind of using the same pictures as my pop. But in this particular, today we're in a red horse. The red horse is there in the to the left center. You'll see he's carrying a sword. His horse is red, and he looks like a warrior, and he is. This particular horse is about war. So we're going to concentrate a little bit on that part aspect. So Revelation 6:4, there was a horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So let's unpack this verse a little bit. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about red in the Bible. Red is typically a color used about it's used in two ways. Red for the blood that Jesus Christ shed for our sins. But also red is also a negative thing, where it's war and destruction. And so I'm going to try to touch on a few of these verses to give you that. So over in Matthew 24, we also see Jesus, when he was given the Olivet Discourse, mentioned these. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So here you see that Jesus foretold of this particular time period, and that here in Revelation 6:4, we also see that the red horse having to do with war. So you see the correlation between the two. There's at least two confirmation that the war is going to be an aspect during the tribulation. And the reason I bring this up is that there's a passage in Ezekiel that we know will happen. We just don't know exactly when. If it's going to start before the rapture, or will it be all included during the tribulation? And because of some statements in that particular passage, some believe it has to happen before, because it talks about burning weapons for 7 years. And if the tribulation is only 7 years long, that means it has to be fairly soon. There's also a lot of other theories about it could start before the rapture. And what's interesting is we're seeing a lot of aspects of this particular prophecy happening right now. When it has to do with Assyria and Israel and northern. And if you read through Ezekiel 38 and 39, fascinating prophecy about that whole war. Maybe at some point we'll actually do a little bit of a study on it. I can't do it all tonight. It would take too long. But it basically talks about a group of empire, a war that's going to happen. These people are going to basically try to attack Israel, and God is going to step in and stop them. And it's going to be all the countries that surround them, like Russia, Iran, Iraq, Turkey. So quite a fascinating study on Ezekiel. We'll touch a little bit. Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and a crown upon his head. Antichrist also, and it's another name that is used for him. You notice they use the word red. So here we have a red horse going out. We already had the white horse with the leader there with the crown, and so this particular verse. We'll get to 12, and we'll talk about it more in depth there. But I'm just trying to show you some places where red is used as a war symbol. In Revelation 17:3 also, I went away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Scarlet is another word for red, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Is that correlation again between red and then seven heads and 10 horns? Again, now this is all depicting things having to do with the Antichrist. And over in Zechariah 1:8, we get talking about horses. And interesting, I saw by night, this is a little bit of a prophecy that Zechariah saw. And behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses speckled and white. And the speckled and white kind of indicates a group of people that are gathered together. It was interesting about this, they stood among the myrtle trees. When I looked at myrtle trees, kind of an interesting thing I found out is that myrtle trees are actually a symbolic of weddings or marriage in Israel. And so the fact that it says that they'll be standing in amongst myrtle trees kind of gives you a hint that these red horses are going to be in Israel. I found this a little bit fascinating. I can't say that I've ever heard somebody else really talk about it. So it's just something that caught my eye and gave me some interest. Continuing in this Zechariah verse 1 9. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among them answered, these are the Lord has sent to walk through the earth. So we know that Jesus is opening these seals and he's sending out these horses. And so this prophecy here in Zechariah might be kind of adding to that. We also got some verses over in Zechariah 6, 2 through 5. In the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot, black horses. And I think you'll pick up pretty good. You'll notice that the four horses are mentioned in this particular verse. And the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, gristled and bay horses. Gristled and bay, we're going to get to, again, when we get to the pale horse, some of the green horse. It's actually kind of like a really kind of a yucky looking green, pale color. And it'll be the fourth horse. We'll get to a couple of days. Answer and seal that to me. What are the Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So another indication here that these four particular horses, as depicted here in Zechariah's vision, are the same four horses that we see being sent out from the seal judgments in the throne room that Jesus is opening these seals. So another indication. I love when we find verses that kind of prove other verses. As a very famous saying, find out, you try to understand a verse in one part of the Bible, look for it in another part of the Bible. And most people that study this kind of thing will look for an answer right nearby. If they don't find the answer right nearby, they'll look through all the scriptures until they find something. And the funny thing is almost any major item that's talked about in the Bible can be found in at least two places. And some are important, three or four. So back over to Revelation 13:10. We also see, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. I got that wrong place, I think. Let's see where I'm at here. Just to go back to what we were talking about in Revelation 6:4. Okay, that was the horse we got done with, and now we're going to talk about the Zechariah. Oh, we just did. We're going to talk about Ezekiel, which is power. Okay. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Okay. That's what we're going to talk about, is the power. And again, this is all talking about, I believe, the Antichrist and what he's going to be doing, even though at first he's going to sound like he's a peace giver, but he's going to quickly turn into somebody that's more into war, into here. So for a time, a white horse, Antichrist, it's going to seem like everybody's answer to everything. But he's going to turn on everybody and start anyone who doesn't want to follow his commandments or less is going to start being eliminated. These are some things that anyone who's seeing this after the rapture is going to have to take heed. So I would take advantage of that period of time during the white horse to really get ready for what's to come. And it's not going to be pleasant. And this is just the beginning. It gets so much worse as we get into the trumpet and bowl judgments. So he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So the saints, I believe they're talking about in this verse, is the those that come to Christ after the rapture, during the tribulation, when they realize that, you know, maybe they were alive when all their friends were telling them about Jesus, and that they said, that's like just a bunch of fairy tales. Well, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that change their mind come about this time. So this is kind of like a message to those that are left behind, that be prepared to, if you decide to follow him and live by the sword, you will die by the sword. But be patient for all you that are going to stay clean and be and follow Christ. Now I go over to Exodus for a minute. This is talking about, again, we're talking about power. And this is the power that the Antichrist is going to have. And the kind of things that were foretold in different parts of the Bible about power. So here in 9:16, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet exaltest I thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. This is actually talking about the time when Moses was in front of Pharaoh. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Pretty interesting that you'll notice a correlation between the plagues of Egypt, and a lot of these plagues we're going to be seeing in Revelation. And it's fascinating to see that some of the same methods that were used on the Jewish people are going to be reused again to try to get them, to convince them to seek the Lord. Now in Isaiah 37:26-27, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities and to ruinous heaps. Therefore the inhabitants were of small power, they were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it's grown up. So more or less this is talking about war again, where the destruction of war is just, it lays wasteland to cities. This is the case of what's going to be happening during this war. But God step in too, and that's why it's hard to know exactly when the Ezekiel war is going to take place. And we're going to go through a few verses in Ezekiel to try to point that out. But to finish up with the power, over in Ezekiel, no, we're already there. Never mind, that was Exodus. So this is a war that's foretold. It's supposed to happen, and with a lot of us prophecy people have been watching, looks like this war could be any day now. It looks like these armies are forming, so they're getting ready. And it's a very fascinating study. If you want to look up, you can either get the commentary by Chuck Missler on Ezekiel 38, but there's a whole bunch of people have done studies on Ezekiel 38. I like Chuck Missler, Andy Woods, and there's a bunch of other people. It's a huge prophecy that a lot of people are talking about. But then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, thus say God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will be forth thy enemy, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it, of this horse. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that thou hast brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of the Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to the cover of the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. And thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That's a brief, continues on, talking about the different armies and stuff that are going to be gathering together to fight that war. I'm going to jump down to verse 21. I just wanted to mention this one verse because it correlates with this verse we read in Revelation. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. I just want to point out that verse reminds us in 6:4 where it says, and they shall from the earth, and they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So you see a little bit of a correlation there between the Ezekiel war and this second horseman, the red horse of war. So I can see a little correlation there. The timing is always tough when it comes to this because we don't know for sure. The only thing we know for sure is that the 7-year tribulation doesn't start until there's a sign, a confirming of a covenant, as it we read in Daniel yesterday. When some of this stuff happens, when it comes to the seal judgments, and even is somewhat of a mystery on when exactly the timing is. We know what's going to happen. We just don't know exactly when. So some aspects of this might happen before we are raptured, and some of them may happen after we rapture. Now, based on this verse, it almost seems like it's after the rapture, but it might be, as one comment prophecy expert I like said, the bombs may be coming down as we are going up. So it'll be interesting to see. I hope you're going to be with us to join us in heaven for that great day that we get to meet the Lord in person. Now, with Ezekiel 39, continuing with this particular war, I just wanted to touch on a few more verses. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Now we're talking about a force of people that includes Russia, Turkey, Iran, some parts of Iraq, Syria, and there's a few down in the south, like Samaria, and there's a couple more down there. If you study the names they use in Ezekiel 38 are kind of are old names that they used to be called. So you got to find out, there's maps out there all over the place of what those names talk about. But it seems like Russia is going to be in the lead, and he's going to gather together all these different armies to go against little old Israel. Israel is only the size of New Jersey. And if you've ever been to New Jersey, you can drive through it in a couple hours. That's how big it is. It is tiny. And they're all going to attack. But here in Ezekiel 39:2, it says that God is going to step in and save Israel. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So it means it's going to be 1/6 of the total army is going to be left after God gets done with them. That is going to be a lot of death and destruction. Just a couple more verses here. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Kind of reminds you of the white horse a little bit, except there's no arrows. But at first, again, the Antichrist is going to be acting like he's a military, he's a peace, he's going to bring peace to the world. He's got that bow. So he's got in the back of his mind, I think, that of destruction. This might be indicative of that too. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. So basically, all the vultures and everything are going to have a field day of all the bodies that are going to be dying on this battlefield. After all these countries, huge countries, attack little old Israel. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. It will happen. Every single prophecy, 100% of them that were foretold before now, have been 100% fulfilled. So there's no reason to believe that these latter day ones aren't going to be fulfilled. So the last word I want to kind of touch on a little bit is the sword. I mentioned the sword in that particular verse there in Revelation 6:4. Just look at it one more time. Toward the end here, and peace from the earth, and they that shall kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So he's got a great sword. Just going to touch a few verses on this. Starting off with Psalm 17:13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. This is kind of indicative of what the Lord's going to step in and save Israel. He's going to make all of these, I wish they had never thought about it, attack. Isaiah 10:5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in thy hand is my indignation. I will send him against the hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey, to tread them down like the mere mire of the streets. In other words, these countries are getting together because they want to attack Israel, because Israel has something they want. And there's some indications it could be like now that Israel found natural gas and they got a lot of it. It could be they're turning into quite a wealthy country. And some of these other countries are having a tough time financially, economically. So that might be the driving force to bring them in to attack Israel. Most people believe that's going to be the motivation by these countries to do it, to do the Ezekiel war. And over into Ezekiel again, 30:24-25. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of the Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. So there's some good verses that are trying to show what the sword in this particular verse may indicate. That again, it's not only that Antichrist is going to come and bring war, but that it's also going to be one of those situations too, where it could be the Ezekiel war, where God ended up turning him back. He may initiate and start it, but then once the war is done, it'll be interesting to see when we get to the other two horses what happens next. So on that note, I'll bring up my picture back over here, and virus. And so tomorrow we'll talk about the black horse. And that has to do with the economy. So we'll tackle that one tomorrow. And let's end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word of the forthcoming prophecy of the end times and what it's going to be like during the tribulation, during the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a better term for it, I know, Lord. And that I hope that all listening now will take heed and come to you now and become your follower, and that they won't have to face these times in the tribulation. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you all again tomorrow, and you have a great day.